Thank you, Ron. Thank you, choir. Beautiful number. Good to be here. And those of you who sat through this the first time, it probably is going to be the same. But it is a joy to be here and share with us and to share from the Word. And I appreciate the opportunity of being in this place. I remember that being here today is a deliberate choice on my part. Pastor April several weeks ago asked me to fill in today and preach, and so I was planning on coming. But but I actually got up this morning choosing, wanting to be here. Not because I was sharing from the Word, but because I was going to be able to be with family and friends and neighbors who love Him. And together, we are family. And together, we come together to celebrate and to rejoice. And basically, that's what I'm going to try to say today is and share with us today, that we are here to rejoice the fact that we were once lost and now we're found. And we rejoice together as family and as friends and neighbors. The passage scripture from that has been selected for today is the parables of the lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And I'd like to share for the first few verses of that. Chapter 15 from Luke. And for us and for our consideration and to hear from Luke. I'm reading from the New International, and starting at verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors and family and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you today for the beauty of today. We also thank you for your word and its reading today, and pray that there would be application from it to our hearts and spirits that will make a difference in our lives today. In your name we do pray. Amen. To set a little bit of a setting, St. Luke sets up the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, by sharing with Jesus telling us and talking to us about the cost of being a disciple. And he uses the illustrations in chapter 14, the last few verses of chapter 14, about that cost. And he talks and uses the illustration of, say, you're wanting to build a tower, he says. Wouldn't you consider the total cost of building that tower before you start? Or else, he goes on to say that you build and put the foundation in, and then you suddenly realize you've run out of money and you can't finish your tower. Or he goes on to say, suppose one king is considering going to war against another king. Doesn't he take time to think about it and consider the fact that he only has 10,000 men, and the king that he is going to go to war with has 20,000 men? And Jesus goes on to say, don't you suppose that the one king sends a delegation off to the approaching king and sees if there's ways for peace between them? Considering the cost, considering the cost of being his follower. And then Luke gives us the accounting, and I love how he introduces how Jesus' parables, talking about the fact that there were sinners and tax collectors in his audience. And that over on the side, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were muttering that he even eats with sinners. I find that classic in the fact that Luke was setting it up for us who was listening. We would fall into that category. We would be one of those listeners. He was talking to sinners, it says, and tax collectors. I don't know if any of us are tax collectors, but we all have been sinners. And he was talking to us. And then he goes in and shares the parables and the stories. And Luke doesn't give any more commentary. He allows Jesus to go through and give us he gives us the parables, talks about the lost sheep, and then talks about the lost coin, and then he talks about the lost son. And I'm thinking that there's times in our lives, as I read scripture, I want it to speak to me and minister to me. And I'm wondering today if you might humor me and allow me to make some following applications. And consider with me, and I'm wondering if the sheep might mean in today's world food, basic kinds of needs and issues in our life, family needs. For in that day, many had sheep, and many had more than they would need personally for their family, because they used it as a means to eat and food, and the wool for clothing, but they also used it in a means of bartering. And so it was a livelihood, it was a source of helping with family needs, meeting basic needs. And I think when there's loss in our world and in our lives and in this day of meeting basic needs, we really sense a feeling of loss and we struggle. I wonder if you would humor me with the coin. That it might mean in today's world a personal livelihood or the personal job, today's economy. A real fact within our family, the economy has impacted us. The economy has impacted some of us in retirement, big time. There's some of us who have struggled with a lack of a job and have been hurting. And thirdly, I wonder if you might allow me and humor me to allow the missing or the lost son might mean in today's world relationships, family, business relationships, social relationships. But there's times in your life and mine that there is a real sense of loss as we move through kinds of situations and circumstances. And in reading Luke 15, we see where Jesus in each of the parables tells us that there was much rejoicing. The shepherd carries home the sheep and calls his neighbors and friends and together, and they tells them about finding his lost sheep and tells them, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep." And the woman sweeps the house and searches until she finds a lost coin. And then she calls her friends and her neighbors and family and says, "Come, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." The father said to the elder son, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found." Rejoicing. Have you ever experienced loss in your life? That's probably funny. Yeah, we have. All of us have experienced loss. How many of you lost your keys? Okay. There's one or two of us. But there's times in your life and mine that we have sensed a loss. And I think if we make the application to the three parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, probably every one of us have had a sense or a time in our lives that we have experienced a loss of those same types. I've been unemployed twice in my life. I didn't like it. Tough times in my personal life of getting up in the morning and having no place to go to work. There's times in that sense and in dealing with that loss of that we really struggle. We sometimes lose focus. We sometimes lose direction. But when we find, when do we get that job? When that broken relationship is healed, there's rejoicing. We are so excited. We celebrate, and we are not afraid, and we oftentimes tell everybody that we come in contact with, "Wow, I got a new job. I'm loving it." And it's not uncommon for us that when we have sensed that lost coin, there's real, when we find it, there is real excitement, real joy, real celebration. And we rejoice. And you know, when things go right, it's easy to follow the Lord's command. When we find our way or when we find the item that was lost, it's easy to rejoice. I found it. I have a new job. I can provide for my family. When that relationship is healed and we move through and on in our relationship, it's easy to say, "Rejoice with me." It's easy to say it. Boy, we're so excited. We tell the world. But what about the times that we experience loss and it doesn't go like we hope? It's called life. Because there are times in your life and mine that we have experienced loss and it didn't work out. It really didn't work out like we wanted. Think about that. Think about the time in your life where you have sensed and felt lost and you were devastated and it didn't work out. What's the encouragement? Where's the teaching? What is the teaching? We find in Acts, Paul and Silas were preaching. They were telling the good news. They were sharing. They were healing. They were telling everybody who would listen. The sinners and the tax collectors and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They were doing it. And there were some people who were not happy that Paul and Silas were doing that. And so they turned them in. They came and they were arrested. They were stripped of their clothes. They were beaten and they were thrown in jail. And Acts tells us in chapter 16 that at midnight, and that's the darkest time of night, that midnight, Paul and Silas and those with them were singing and praying and excited in the midst of being in their chains and in their sores there in jail. And Acts goes on to tell us that in the midst of their rejoicing, they were freed from their chains and doors were opened for them, and they could have walked out. And of course, the story goes on to say that the jailer became so concerned that he immediately panicked, thinking that they had escaped. And they said, no, we're here. And Paul and Silas were able to then, the story goes, that to share with the jailer that thing about Jesus. And another sinner found Jesus. And Paul and Silas were practicing what Paul preached in the words from Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 4, where Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. We all experience loss. We are really excited when it works out. The secret to living in the Spirit is that even when it doesn't work out, we don't celebrate the loss, but we celebrate the presence of Jesus in our lives and the fact that He is there to be for us what we need Him to be. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 tells us, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." All of us were lost. You know, I believe one of the reasons we gather together every week is to share the good news of lost being found. I was lost. And coming together with my friends and family and neighbors is a way for me to celebrate that I was once lost, but am now found. And I know Jesus as Lord. And we do that in worship, in our music, being together in fellowship, sharing a cookie after worship, the welcoming visitors in our fellowship. You know, and I believe every visitor to our church should be greeted at least 3 times before they hit the sanctuary. And that's our part of our rejoicing together as family. Coming together as friends and neighbors, rejoicing and being inclusive in that rejoicing. We're celebrating that we were lost at one time and now we are together with friends and neighbors and family rejoicing that the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. One of the early on drawing cards for me to this particular fellowship 7 years ago was the music. And the incredible talent that's represented in our fellowship. And most Sundays, after I have been in worship, and I usually attend the 9 o'clock worship, but most Sundays after worship, I'm heading for home, I reflect in that drive on the joy of worship, the rejoicing of the Spirit, the warmth of the fellowship, the hugs that I got that day, the joy of being with friends and neighbors, celebrating Jesus and His truth. And you know, I believe another reason why we gather together is to provide support and a haven for those who are suffering in loss right now. I believe we need to be focused and need to be on purpose, providing an avenue in which our friends and neighbors who are suffering loss know that they can come and find support within this group. We need to be open and available to those who might come into our midst hurting and lost. And I think we need to be available more than just greeting them at the door and welcoming them. But we truly need to be open and available. And I mean those visitors, but I also mean everyone in our fellowship. Lots of us wear masks very well. We have the smile. Things are okay. Yeah, I'm doing well. But this week has been a lousy week, and we have sensed a real loss in one way or another. But we come to church on Sunday, you know, put the mask on, and oh yeah. But it's in those times and this fellowship that we can and need to be so available. That as we come and we worship and we wear those masks, that we share and are available to them. I have a personal story that I want to share. A personal story of knowing and feeling a real deep loss. Nearly 37 years ago, I can't believe it's been that long. And I can take you to the place on Interstate 5 between Redding and Red Bluff in Northern California, where the Holy Spirit let me know in no uncertain terms that He was in my car with me. He filled that car with His presence. There in my car with me on an early Tuesday morning after Thanksgiving weekend in November, and letting me know that I would, if I would let Him be in control, He would take care of the deep feeling of loss that I was feeling and experiencing on that drive that morning. For I was driving down from a little town called Weaverville, where I was living at the time, which is west of Redding, about 60 miles, and driving to Sacramento to be with my 22-month-old daughter and her mom. My daughter, Lisa, was in a coma and had been in one since we found her in her bed on Monday morning. The three hospitals and the many, many, many doctors that had seen her and reviewed her case since Monday morning had no clue what was going on with her. Until we discovered later, about the very moment that the Lord got into the car with me on the Interstate 5 up there south of Redding and north of Red Bluff, and saying He was wanting to be in control if I would let Him. But at that moment, she was diagnosed with Reye syndrome. And at that time, 37 years ago, the doctors had been able to say only children who they had done a complete blood transfusion on, and they were in the process of doing that for Lisa when the Lord took her home to be with Him. And from the moment He let me know that He was there and I committed to Him that I would let Him be in control, He filled that car with His presence and filled my heart and my soul with a peace and joy that it was going to be okay. And the sense of loss was gone as he filled it with his presence. Then he filled my heart with a chorus called "He is Lord." And with tears streaming down my face as I was driving that I-5 south to Sacramento, I was singing that song, "He is Lord." And I'm not sure what people were thinking when they saw me driving down the freeway, crying and singing at the top of my lungs. But I was celebrating and rejoicing that I didn't know what I was going to find when I got to Sacramento. But God was with me in the car. And it was okay. Whatever I found, it was okay. And the rest of the story goes, as I reached the hospital in Sacramento and was walking through the door, there was an announcement over the loudspeaker calling my family to the nurse's station. They ushered us into the doctor's office to tell us that they had not been successful in saving Lisa. There was shock, there was hurt, there was pain, but there was a peace that filled that doctor's office that was so incredible because he was in control. He had it. He had me. And in that peace, the doctors told us that due to the fact that she had been in a coma as long as she had, and that the virus attacks vital organs of the body, and if Lisa had survived the blood transfusion, she possibly would have been in a coma state the rest of her life. And when he filled that car with his presence up there, on that interstate and let me know that he was in control and gave me his peace, that lost feeling that I had been experiencing was gone, replaced with his peace. And in the weeks and months that we lived through that process, and it is a process, his peace never left. His peace was real and very vital. And so, my dear friends, in all times, the good times, when we find that lost coin, and in those times that life throws our way, that we don't find that lost coin, the Lord's command is rejoice. Rejoice not in the loss, but rejoice in Him and His presence. And His amazing grace will sustain us in that process. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today and celebrating You and celebrating together the family and celebrating the fact that we were once lost and today we are found. Lord, we think of yesterday and the anniversary, 9th anniversary of a horrendous thing that happened in our country. We think of the utterly countless numbers of folks that impacted that particular day. And Lord, today we remember and pray that You would be that comfort and that peace, that those who are sensing that loss, sensing even today, that loss, we pray that You would be for them all that they need. And Lord, I pray also for us as we celebrate as family here today, that You would help us to, in the midst of our loss, find grace, find power, find strength, to be able to rejoice in the good times when we find that coin and in those times where we don't find that coin. Help us to be very mindful of the fact that You are with us. And Lord, help us now as we pray together the prayer that You taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.